with Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
This is fantastic.
Jimmy Patronis is on the line with us, our congressman for District 1, Northwest Florida. It's a little different time. We just had some scheduling issues with yesterday. He was traveling, so wanted to get him on as soon thereafter as we could. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you for having me. Am I coming through okay? I hear a little static on your end.
You sound perfect on this end. Actually, probably you sound better than me. Nice.
I just wanted to say congratulations. I voted for you, and it's
That's Candy, who used to be
here. You on? You're
it
so
worked.
Great. I know it. Worked. I'm so glad. I was so glad when Trump put this. Anyway, you're amazing. I love you. Okay, bye.
So lots of stuff.
Well, appreciate it.
Lots of stuff since you and I last talked. I think one of the big bills was the rescission bill, which is to pull back funding that had previously been granted. I think the big news item here was that it was NPR and PBS getting cut, but also foreign aid getting cut. In my opinion, USAID, like, there are lots of problems in USAID, but I was reading a very interesting study recently that indicated that the number of lives that are saved by our health initiatives around the world, whether it's malaria or HIV AIDS or infant mortality questions, I mean, USAID makes a huge difference in lives saved, but I know there are problems too. Can you maybe tell us where we're at on the USAID side?
Yeah, look, was there a segment of members of Congress who had a lot of just anxiety about rescission? Yes, because there's definitely a feeling of the separation of powers between the legislative and the executive branches is we set the budget and the money and you spend it. So then when you have a president deciding that, hey, I'm not going to spend this money and I want you to take it back, that's kind of going against it. So you get some purists out there that truly believe this is against the will of the people. So this is where I think what ultimately was accomplished is as this rescission package did pass, there's going to be organizations and institutions that have been beneficiaries of these tax dollars. They're going to get a wake-up call that, guys, just because the cash flow is coming from the federal government doesn't mean that we're not going to pay oversight to how you're spending those dollars. So this is no different than what happened with these categories, whether PBS or the foreign aid or National Public Radio, that they've gotten outside of their lane. So color inside the lines, be responsible with the U.S. taxpayers' dollars, and then you'll have the opportunity to come back and make your arguments to Congress for any changes you want to see moving forward. But I think, a lot of this stuff goes on autopilot, and it happens from the federal to the state or the federal to international, from the state to even local governments, where those dollars, they get issued, and then they may not get spent for 100% of what they were instructed to be spent for. And that's just not acceptable. So I think this was a good shot across the bow. I think there's a heck of a lot more that could have been cut, but this is at least a start.
Yeah. And I guess Mike, and I agree with all of that. My question is, I feel like the United States has done over the decades, has done so much good around the world and bad too, and waste too, certainly, and fraud too.
Sure.
That there are millions and millions of people who are alive because of our health initiatives, particularly. And I hate the idea of all of that going away. And, when Democrats say, well, you're cutting funding and killing people, I mean, we'd be cutting funding and killing people. And I hate to think that would be the case. And so I'm just wanting to make sure that there are, people like you who are up there watching to see that at least the good stuff we do is going to continue to be funded at appropriate levels.
Every dollar, and it's all absorbing. Every dollar's got to be managed, in my opinion. There, I used to say, if you watch the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. And it's no different whenever somebody decides that we're not going to give you as much money this year as you got last year. They will roll out the worst of worst of the greatest human tragedies in order to try to create a stop or impasse to that dollar being cut. But it is what it is. I mean, we've got to stop sending our money to other people, and we got to manage it better. So they now have to come back and show, too, that their product of work, of what type of success they've had, or what they've done with the dollars they've received. I think this is all a fair question to be asking. Unfortunately, this went a little further, and the money is being taken away. So this will be a real wake-up call, not just to those entities we clawed money back from, but anybody who's a beneficiary of U.S. taxpayers' dollars.
We're talking to Jimmy Petronis. I know it's a little bit of an odd time slot, but this is when we could get him in based on travel this week, and I definitely wanted to talk with him this week. Jimmy, hang on for just a second. We'll get a quick traffic on the fives.
You got it.
All right. And not showing any slowdowns or delays. It looks like Pensacola NAS is running smoothly. It is backed up over the bridge, making your way on. And that's it. 437-1620. You can call or text if you see that accident or slowdown this morning.
All right, Candy, thanks
Candy
so much.
Five,
back to Congressman Jimmy Petronis. Jimmy, one of the things I keep hearing from people about the whole Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America thing is that this is really all this is about oil drilling. And if you change the name, then all of a sudden it changes any of the prohibitions which were there. The city of Pensacola just on Thursday passed a statement in which they said, you know, we just don't want offshore drilling. And that's, you know, I mean, many communities around Florida, as you know, this is a big issue both militarily for the Gulf Test Range. But also for our environmental issues. When I go to Mobile and I look out on the water, I think, God, thank God we don't have that here because it's everywhere there's an oil rig, and we just don't have it in Florida. Can you maybe clarify where we stand with keeping the Gulf free of oil drilling rigs, especially with that Gulf of America thing?
Yeah, that's right. We have taken a statewide legislative congressional delegation approach that anytime this subject rears its head, that we unite together. This is one of several issues that the entire Florida delegation really stands together on. There's just no appetite for it. And I always tell those that decide, especially in our backyard, that decide this is a good thing, I said, you cannot tell me, you know, when you look at the economic activity that comes from our military installations in the Gulf Coast, now, if you start any type of drilling in the Gulf, now you're going to jeopardize those missions, and they may have to go somewhere else. So, and my attitude has always been, you've got to show me where drilling is not going to generate the equivalent amount of money. You've got to generate more money than what we're going to have if you affect those missions and how they leave and the prosperity they bring to Northwest Florida. So, you know, my attitude is, the more every county commissioner, city commissioner that is hearing the show today, we welcome any resolutions you want to set on half your commissions or your councils. Send them to us. Let's just continue to keep this an issue that's important to our coastal areas, but more importantly to our military missions.
Do you feel like, because the president is from New York, right? He's not from Florida, even though he lives here now, and he's a drill baby drill guy, right? So do you think he understands that concept when it comes to the Gulf?
I think he comes and goes. At the end of the day, as long as you have those the drop in fuel prices like you're having, it really doesn't make it attractive to do that drilling in the Florida waters. So I mean, he has been effectively at turning the economy in favor of the user, and this is a good thing. I don't see him, you know, wanting to put our military missions in jeopardy. But, you know, the one thing I love about the president, he is not afraid to throw things against the wall and see if they stick. So, again, if he says something that may be based on the audience he's from, don't read too much into it. It's probably because somebody got to him and stirred his pot right before he got to the microphone.
Gotcha. The cryptocurrency legislation, I am not a particularly knowledgeable person about this subject, but what I have read about it is very interesting. I guess there's a couple of bills still pending, and there's a bill that you guys already passed. This issue of a stable cryptocurrency because it's backed by dollars is interesting compared to the completely untethered ones. Can you tell us what has Congress done and doing on the subject?
So one thing that we wanted to do is we put into law that you cannot create a central bank digital currency. So that makes it loud and clear that once we go into the digital currency, we're already there, but we're in the digital currency market, that the federal government can't turn on its own coin. What's important about this and what is feared by many, and I'm concerned about, is so you decide to set up your own wallet using this federally backed digital currency, well, then the federal government can turn and turn on and turn off your wallet, or they can take your money from you. We're not going to allow that to ever happen, and now U.S. law prevents that from ever being the case. So we're putting in guardrails to ensure that there's always a free market when it comes to those currencies. We're creating a pathway for those that want to create stable coins that can be pegged to a U.S. dollar. But we've also got language in play that says those transactions can't be, can't be surveilled. So we will, your transactions are your transactions. They stay private. Those are things I think are important, just out of just respect to our U.S. citizens. So I mean, it's stability, it's more transparency, and also protecting their money while it's in their possession.
The story that had kind of been circulating, I think it was late last week, was about the EPA cutting its research. But then the question is, what about the EPA facility out on Pensacola Beach? And you had told Channel 3, I think, that that's all staying. Did I understand that story correctly?
Yeah. So, I think there was something. When I got reached out by WAR on this, I'm thinking, this is news to me. I even reached out to the administrator myself over the weekend, and I bounced off of him, what I was getting questioned with, and he thought it was, that doesn't make any sense. So I think some things were taken out of context. But anytime there's going to be any type of cut at any level or any agency, just like what we talked about a little bit earlier regarding, people are going to roll out the worst case scenarios, mm-hmm. and it's no different when we're trying to tighten our belts on waste, fraud, and abuse with the Medicaid dollars in our state. What are the different entities they roll out that we're going to close down rural hospitals? So they roll out what is seen as the most, the most passionate, vulnerable element of service providers, and they make it sound like we're going to put those out in the street, like they rolled out a bunch of pregnant mothers and saying we're not going to give them services. So, I mean, again, I think a lot of people are concerned about any type of cuts. But, guys, we have got to watch out for people's money. Yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, I want you spending your money. I don't want the federal government wasting your money.
We saw that with the NPR PBS stuff, right? Like, we know it's a very, very small percentage of the funding, but all of a sudden, all of these rural stations are going to go away, they say, and nobody's going to get their weather information anymore. And, people are going to die in storms because, you had the audacity to cut 1% of the funding for, government broadcasting. Like, I get what you're saying about the worst thing gets trotted out as the reason that you can't do any kind of a cutback or any kind of a reduction. Last thing, we're talking to Congressman Jimmy Patronis. Obviously, that one of the big talking topics right now is the Epstein files. We have the folder, we don't have the folder. They don't exist. We're going to release. We're not going to release. And then meanwhile, the MLK Jr. files get all released. What do you think needs to be done with the Epstein? Whatever data is out there. Now we're going to bring out the grand jury testimony, but not maybe all the files. What do you want to see happen?
So, one, I'm a big transparency guy. Full transparency. Then people get all their questions answered however they want. I have no problem getting everything all released. But I think at the end of the day, this is a massive energy and time suck. At the end of the day, I want to continue pushing more rescission packages. I want to continue saving our country from a fiscal health, from undoing all these policies that the Biden administration did over the last 4 years. I want to pass President Trump's executive orders. But when you have issues like a dead pedophile's, black book list consuming everything that we're trying to do for the good of the people, it's frustrating. So yeah, my attitude is, can we quit talking about it so we can start doing some good? Because I don't know Jeffrey Epstein. He did horrible things, for those crazies out there that want to get to the bottom of it. Let them have it. I just want to work. Okay. And right now, the Epstein files have gotten to the point where it has created an impasse for us getting things done, because we have such a slim majority and the Democrats have found an issue that they've been able to basically block any committee moving forward because they're loading it up with Epstein amendments. So, that's why, at least I'd like where the president has some jurisdiction in this and he is getting the Department of Justice. At least he starts. Well, hell, yesterday he dropped 250,000 pages dealing with the Martin Luther King assassination. So, right. So he's definitely in the mindset of getting the stuff vetted and flushing it out just to you know, settle the conspiracy theories.
Well, surely you're not implying that in the United States of America we occasionally fixate on the wrong thing. I know that cannot be something that you would be saying.
Love gossip. I'm sorry.
We so human. Do. Oh,
we
my
love
God.
Gossip. But, you know, but God, I want to work. Man, I come up here away from my family, my friends, the part of the country that I love to deal with trying to change the world, and then we can't move an inch because – of a dead pedophile. I mean, it's
yeah,
stupid.
You're
you know
right.
what? Get it out there so we don't have to talk about it anymore. You know?
Jimmy Petronas is our congressman from Northwest Florida. Jimmy, great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you, as always, for the time. I appreciate it. I do hope you get to work, frankly.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. I appreciate
All right.
you. See you, buddy.
Bye-bye. 7:25 on Bye-bye. News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays right now. A little slow making your way over to Pensacola NAS on the front gate there. It looks like it is backed up over the bridge almost to the Shell station. If you see an accident or a slowdown, 437-1620.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you rushing to an appointment? Have you been late for an appointment? Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die." Unless Christ returns in our lifetime, we all have an appointment with death that none of us will be late for. Possibly the most remarkable thing about Jesus Christ is that he conquered death. He died, but 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. It is because of his sinless life, substitutionary death, and resurrection from the grave that he now offers sinners like me and you eternal life in heaven with him. I urge you, don't delay. Confess your sin to him and call upon Christ today so that you are prepared for this appointment.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Every day, you enjoy the freedoms brought to you by the First Amendment. You can speak your mind, wear what you want. You can put a sign on your front lawn that says, "Vote for Bigfoot, someone you can believe in." Pray to the God of your choice, or don't. They're the freedoms that let you be you. All brought to you by the First Amendment. Learn more at freedomforum.org.
This message is sponsored by Freedom Forum and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Number, please.
What exchange is this?
Number, please.
I want to make a call to...
Local calls only. What is your number, sir?
Haven't got a number.
No number, no call.
Number two, number seven, in Little Village, The Prisoner.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, all right. We found
what?
more TV
years,
you need to
and
watch.
You're all watching these different movies and having different friends. You get to talk to Jimmy Petronas.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Hey, David.
Well, good morning. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says peace talks are on the horizon with Russia. They'll be happening tomorrow in Istanbul. Two previous meetings in May and June resulted in the transfer of thousands of POWs and the remains of fallen military personnel being returned. Elon Musk says his artificial intelligence startup XAI is looking into creating a new kid-friendly version of its chatbot Grok. Apparently, they're going to call it Baby Grok.
Well, it's better than Grok Youth.
Okay, yeah. Andrew, we're getting shortchanged today. Do you know that?
Oh, do tell.
The day is going to be a bit under the normal 24 hours, an estimated 1.34 milliseconds under 24 hours, to be exact.
Oh, all right. Is this because of the wobble of the Earth, or
they're
realigning the clocks with the rotation around the sun?
Well, apparently the Earth's rotation just experiences some normal fluctuation.
Just a little. Oh, so it's rotation. I got you. A revolution, not rotation.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Senate hearing this afternoon dubbed Biden's border betrayal by Republicans who want to expose the chaos created by the former president's open border policy.
Lawmakers dive into this issue of criminal aliens in America, exactly the kind of scenario that allegedly played out in New York. An off-duty Border Patrol agent was shot after exchanging gunfire during what appeared to be an attempted robbery by two suspects who we have now learned were in the country illegally.
Fox's Doug Lusader. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche posted on X this morning he reached out to the lawyers for convicted felon Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's longtime partner who was found guilty of helping Epstein and his crimes against minors. Blanche wants to know what she knows, adding, no one is above the law and no lead is off limits. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is 83 degrees. It's a hot one today. We've already got almost a triple-digit heat index here at 7:31 this morning. We'll check in on our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Escambia County Emergency Medical Services has a new way to release information. They're posting Escambia County EMS by the numbers graphics. And they'll be posting these twice a month. In the first edition, they provided some data on the Pensacola Beach Air Show weekend, which showed a pretty significant increase in patient encounters this year, 115 for 2025 compared to 66 in 2024. Of those encounters, 102 people were treated and released at the beach. 65 cases of heat-related illnesses were reported. 12 people were transported to hospitals and one person was airlifted. Escambia EMS by the numbers graphics will be posted again twice per month, and the information provided on those graphics could rotate among various information. A Pensacola woman has been sentenced to 20 years in prison for fentanyl trafficking, 41-year-old Georgina Nichols. She was sentenced last week on multiple charges, including fentanyl trafficking, possession of a controlled substance, and introduction of contraband into a county jail. Prosecutors say Nichols was arrested with more than 6 grams of fentanyl after a Pensacola traffic stop. She was taken to the county jail where she was found later holding an ounce of fentanyl in her cell. The 20-year sentence will be served day for day. Well, Perdido Key is celebrating its first sea turtle hatch of the season. County officials say 106 loggerhead hatchlings made their way to the water last week, and that despite challenges from artificial lighting. With 12 nests recorded this year, Perdido is on track for a near-record turtle season. Pensacola Beach has 13 nests. To help protect hatchlings, beachgoers, of course, being urged to keep artificial lights off at night, remove beach furniture, and, like always, fill in any holes that you dig in the sand. For more information, check out the county website, myescambia.com/sea turtles. A Central Florida man accused of raping and murdering a 13-year-old girl has been sentenced to life in prison after agreeing to a plea deal.
Friends and family of Madeline Soto spoke of how her murder shattered their lives and how much they despised Stephen Stearns. Tyler Wallace is her father.
You're depraved. You're weak. You're a coward.
Wallace says Maddie had been thinking about moving in with him before she died. Stearns offered an apology after admitting to murder and sexual abuse.
I've prayed to God countless times to trade places with her, to take me instead.
The judge sentencing Stearns to life without parole. I'm Gordon Bird.
Thank you very much, Gordon. Florida's got a new top financial watchdog. Blaise Ingolia was sworn in yesterday as the new state chief financial officer and fire marshal. Engolia will oversee billions of dollars in state funding. Before becoming the CFO, Engolia was a Republican state senator from Hernando County. He replaces Jimmy Patronis, you just heard on this program. He's now serving as our District 1 congressman. 735 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a check on our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Hey, it looks like everything's running smoothly, not showing any slowdowns or delays. Backed up across the bridge as you make your way onto Pensacola NAS. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can text us at 437-1620. I'm Candy with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing another hot day today. Temperatures warming near 96 degrees. Heat advisory in place from 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. with temperatures feeling well into the hundreds. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Wednesday, rain chances increase a bit. 70% chance of rain, high near 94. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And it is 83 right now in Pensacola, 82 in Gulf Breeze, 85. In Milton, and we are seeing that heat index creeping up now. What the heat index at 102 in Milton, 99 across the rest of the area. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
Every Subaru at Anderson Subaru is built with quality parts and precision engineering, so you can count on your Subaru to be with you for the long road ahead. And you can count on a great rate from Anderson Subaru to help you get there. With 0% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Solterra models, with 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Outback models, or 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2025 Crosstrek models, and 3.9% APR for 48 months on 2025 Forester models. 0%, 1.9%, 2.9%, and 3.9%. Combined with legendary reliability and longevity, there's even more reason to love a Subaru. From Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Bands on the Beach is brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's 12-11. There's no place I'd rather be. An energetic and dynamic pop and R&B band with a vast range of dance-worthy songs with warm vocals and infectious grooves. So join us this Tuesday as 12-11 is ready to bring the party to the beach. It's Bands on the Beach with 12-11. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 738 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. In studio, we have Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Chip, welcome back to the show. Good to have you, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. You brought with us some guests to observe.
Yeah, we have
Whitney.
Caroline Lucas is with us. Her plan is to become not just a sheriff.
Well, let her say it. Does she want to say it? Whitney, would she want to say it on the radio?
I tell you what, introduce yourself, Caroline.
I don't think she can reach that mic. There you go. All right. Caroline is Whitney Lucas's daughter, 10 years old, and a redhead, so you know she's a good people. What is your goal in life, Caroline?
I'm going to be the first female sheriff in Escambia County.
First female sheriff in Escambia County. If nobody else gets there first, you can't control. But yeah, okay, all right. So that would put you in let's see, you'd be eligible in about 15 years. So, all right, 2040 campaign announced right here on News Radio 92.3. You get with Robert Benner and see if we can get you qualified real soon. We'll get signatures, okay? All right. Hey, welcome. Good to have you here. Back to Sheriff Simmons, the current sheriff of Escambia County.
Yeah, they're after my job.
I know, right? You know, but at least you got warning.
Yeah, I do have warning. Yeah, forewarned is what they call it.
There you go. All right. but we had a couple of things happen overnight, including, let's see, one report of a stabbing on Mobile Highway related to a Planet Fitness.
Yeah, the report's out there, but it's so I did some checking on it, and what has been reported is a stabbing or a person was attacked at a Planet Fitness on Mobile Highway. When checking with the shift commander, we discovered that that's not exactly what happened. That did not happen at Planet Fitness. He happened to call from the front of Planet Fitness. And also what he was reporting is that, well, really is a bunch of balderdash, really, okay. What he's saying, because he says he was at a drug house trying to buy drugs and was attacked by a person with a machete. But it appears to the deputies to be just an individual that may have fallen and cut his face on some rocks. That's what the scene looked like. That's what the injuries looked like. And that's what they could surmise based upon what he's saying.
And his solution was run to Planet Fitness, call you guys, and claim a machete attack.
Yeah. I think it's okay. A lot cooler than it is I fell and
hit some rocks in my face.
On a rock, okay. Because I'm
all right.
Inebriated.
all right. I see the other part there. We also had something happen out on Perdido Key. Somebody was waving a gun.
Yeah, that one just came in. It's one of our overnight unusuals. And what happened was an individual was claimed, we got a report that an individual was waving a gun, shouting incoherently from one of the condos over there in Perdido Key. When we get there, we find the person did have a gun, and we took him for what we call an evaluation.
Okay, like a pre-Baker Act. Okay, got it. Okay. We also had, Michael Johnson arrested for a fatal shooting on Wilson Avenue in Kincaid. And the only way I can describe this person is when I first saw him, I thought he was wearing a Viking helmet. It turns out those are tattoos.
Yeah. Some call them tattoos.
Facial decoration.
Them, yeah.
You know,
what it is there.
So wanting to never feel out at a, out of place at the pyre ceremony for a fallen fellow Viking.
Picture.
Yeah,
it's
yeah, an okay.
Photo of him. I'll tell you that we.
Snoopa. What is it called, Candy? A snoopa?
It's an atastupa.
A stupa.
Where they
okay,
jump off
you.
A cliff, and it's from Midsummer. It's
okay.
Thanks. Sorry,
again.
Sheriff. Excuse me.
What,
we don't
what,
have many
what
of those here.
What language is that?
She's the it's Norse.
Swedish? I don't know.
Of
okay.
Norse.
All right. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry.
Well, yeah, we arrested him, charged him with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. This is one of those ones where we evaluate the reasonableness of an action whenever you end up shooting and killing someone, then you claim self-defense. In this particular situation, the reason we have not arrested him for homicide yet is because there were some threats by this guy to harm him. We actually got called to that residence about the ultimate shooting victim.
Okay.
And we made him leave, and then he came back. So the shooter, I'll call him the shooter, he did shoot and we do believe he shot and killed a man, and he claims it to be self-defense. Well, we're looking into that. There are some, it was at his property, at the shooter's property.
So presumption would sort of lean
in that
direction.
Which is one of the big things that we look at.
Right.
Secondly, we did confirm that we were there prior to that and made the guy leave. The guy did come back. There were threats to do violence to him. That's a good start, right, with regards to reasonableness.
Self-defense, right.
Yeah, but we're not quite finished yet. We're still completing that. But in the meantime, we did charge him with possession by a convicted felon. Now, if you're defending yourself, even though you're a convicted felon, you can arm yourself to defend yourself. The problem he would have in this case is that he actually bought the weapon, the firearm, from the victim weeks prior. So he bought the weapon as a convicted felon weeks before this from the ultimate.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then he had it in his possession for the last month or so.
Now, that's interesting. I just paused for a second because I did not realize that if you are in danger, you're allowed to arm yourself even though you're not normally allowed to possess or carry as a felon. Is that what you said?
Yes. Well, we were not a convicted felon, but you arm yourself only to protect yourself for someone else. So you can't arm yourself.
Okay. It's kind of hard to imagine a circumstance where that would be lawful. It's, like you're at grandpa's and you know grandpa's got guns and somebody comes and threatens your life and you go and grab one of his shotguns temporarily. I mean, like that kind of a scenario, it's kind of a rare thing, I'm sure. But still, it's worth knowing because it makes sense, I guess, you know.
Yeah, nothing simple in law enforcement.
Yeah, well, and fair enough. That's why we need to have people like young Caroline to come and, you know, run the system and make it all straight for us. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. We'll be back with him in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the 5s at 7:45.
Sheriff, this is brought to you by Executive Landscaping, and Executive Landscaping have been doing their job a long time, and you can call them today for your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Front gate to Pensacola NAS backed up over the bridge. If you see a slowdown or accident, you can text 437-1620. I'm Candy with traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, Candy. Sheriff Chip Simmons, we had a case that's, I think it's not your case anymore, but in 2024, you had a guy named Darian Finley who opened fire on some of your deputies after a car chase. And that's been, now he's been indicted, I think, which is quite some time later, but this is not your case anymore, right?
Well, I mean, I would say it's always our case. When you shoot at our deputies and then we shoot you, that's going to be one of our cases. It was originally in state court, or our first circuit here.
Okay.
And then the federal prosecutors decide they would like to adopt it as a federal case, and they have that discussion with the state attorney's office, and they agree that, okay, we'll drop it because there may be more a harsher sentence or an easier prosecution on one level versus the other. In this particular case, he's been indicted on a federal charge, and it's decided that that was the best route to take.
Okay. All right. We also had, I thought this was a very, just an interesting story because it told me something I did not know already, which was you had it on your Facebook page. I know North of Scambia also had it, that Deputy Katie Touchstone was, and she's a canine officer with Buster, who, by the way, is a beagle. It's kind of an unusual one. I mean, not unheard of. There's, you know, I know the road cam for Escambia County uses beagles for scent. They're good at scent tracking, right? The beagles are. And making a lot of noise when
That's
you don't want them to make noise.
Yes.
So, as opposed to, you know, the Malinois or the shepherds. But anyway, she found a missing person, but also using a scent kit. So what happened? And tell me about the scent kit thing, because that was the first time I'd ever heard of that.
Well, we got a report that there was an endangered individual that had been missing for between 2 and 4 hours. So using the scent kit, Touchstone, Deputy Touchstone and our canine Buster, who you just described, were able to track the missing person over about a half of a mile trail and then determined that the person's direction was traveling. Obviously, we were able to guide our patrol units into an area, and we were safely able to locate the missing person unharmed. We participate in a Bringing the Lost Home program with a scent kit, and basically it is one of those things where you can preserve the smell, of the unique smell of a person, allowing canine to get a whiff of the person before searching for those that are missing.
How broad is the applicability of this scent kit thing? Because, you know, like when I was a kid, they took us to school and got us fingerprinted, not for a record database, but so our parents had the information. So if anything ever happened to us, we got abducted or something like that. And I know we still do those kinds of things for parents, but is this meant to be like everybody should go get a scent kit on their kids, or is this for vulnerable adults who, you know, might be silver alerts or might have, you know, some kind of a disability that are more likely or prone to go missing? Like, how widespread are these scent kits, and how, I mean, who should have that done?
Well, my understanding is those that should have it done are those that are more likely to go missing, to wander. In this particular case, I don't know if they've had a situation where they've wandered off before, but that's the type of person that we would get a scent kit for. Also,
it's a kit designed to capture, you know, objects that would have their scent, so that you can give it to the dog so they can track
it in case you don't have it. Someone goes missing. If Andrew McKay goes missing tomorrow, we may not have something with your scent on it. But we have this kit that we had preserved, so we can use that that scent. That's how amazing these dogs are with regards to their sense of smell.
Also, just for, you know, clarity's sake, I do go missing a lot.
Well, I think your smell's pretty strong, so we'd probably be able to find
it. It's very easy to find a source.
with those shirts you wear.
Wow. Wow. Ouch. Ah, I feel so seen and also hurt. And smell. That's exactly right. I feel smelled. We had a really tragic outcome to an incident that took place a long time ago. You had a deputy, Jeremy Cassidy, who was shot in 2010, but just passed away. But it was still related to that incident, right?
Yeah, back in October of 2010, three of our deputies, well, more than three, but three initial deputies responded to a domestic violence kidnapping. There were shots exchanged in a hail of gunfire, basically, and Deputy Cassidy was critically injured. In fact, for weeks, really, he clung to life. There was a lot of blood drives. I wasn't at the sheriff's office at the time.
You were at the police department, right? Yeah.
Right. And he had to medically retire. So, and had organ transplants and a lot of other things.
So very, very serious injuries.
Lucky to be alive.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, 15 years ago, he passed. Now, there is some, some connection to, obviously, the shooting to his ultimate passing. So, as you can tell, I'm wearing a mourning band now.
Yeah.
We will wear them at our agency until the funeral, which, as I understand, is going to be Thursday evening.
Okay.
It's just a terribly sad. I've been friends with the Cassidy family. Jeremy's father, Henry, and I worked together at the Pensacola Police Department. He was a sergeant, retired sergeant, and he passed away, I believe, last year. And so the Cassidy family's kind of taken a hit the last couple of years.
And this is, it's not a one-to-one direct connection, but certainly related, having to do with, the incident that took place back then. But this is the first time in a long time that we've had a sheriff's deputy death so directly connected to in the line of duty. Am I right about that? It's been a while.
That's correct. In fact, we just reorganized our... reimagined, if you will, our law enforcement memorial out front. And so there's, the names of the deputies that are fallen. And it has been some time, fortunately, since we have lost a deputy. And this is unique because it happened 15 years later, but I don't know that you can deny the connection between the critical injuries that took place and ultimately what, those injuries changed his life, him and his family's life. And though he fought a good, hard battle for 15 years, I think the connection is there that the shots that were that struck his body were those that contributed to his death.
Yeah, and I mean, I think people might know that it was cancer, but it's still cancer related potentially to medicine and treatment resulting from the injuries and the transplants. And there's a nexus there. And
if it weren't for the shooting,
he wouldn't have had all the other stuff.
He would not have had that medication.
Wow. I had a question. It just whenever we have heat like this, it makes me think of this. We think of the heat related to the homeless. We think of heat related to us, like out on the beach doing things. But your officers operating out in the heat, wearing their gear, which is extra unpleasant, and getting in and out of the Tahoes or the Explorers, I forget now, whatever. Canine, same thing.
The heat, Tahoes.
Yeah, the Tahoes. What does the heat do to your officers? And also, does it affect the crime rate? We hear stories about, when there's heat, people are upset more often and they involve in domestic kind of things more often. Is any of that true?
Yeah, I think it is true. I think that's why, there's two reasons I think that crime rates go up a little bit in the summertime. One is that there are people out of school and college and that sort of thing.
A lot more free time and more people of the age.
There's parties out there. But I do think that the heat plays a factor. I think that there's a misery index, if you will, where people get out and then they feel like the only way that they can refresh themselves is to drink liquor or beer or make themselves feel a little bit better. And then that contributes to dehydration. So we have not just the medical, but we also have the disturbance, the anger, the tempers flare. And then we end up getting, as we talk about people can't walk away.
Yeah.
They should walk away, but they don't seem to be able to. And so, we have that issue in the summertime. Now, regarding our deputies, we went to an outer carrier, if you will. So whenever they're in the car or whenever they're doing a report, they can actually unattach the outer carrier.
Instead of being under the clothes, right.
From that. But I know that when I first started, there was no such relief. The body armor itself was a lot thicker. The shirts were thicker. They weren't near as breathable as they are now. So we've come a long way. Even the air conditioners didn't work as well in the cars
as they
do now. But we are very aware of the heat, and obviously our deputies are as well. So we make sure that they understand that you can get overheated quickly. And look, we're chasing people. We're running after people, jumping fences. We're out directing traffic in this heat. So it's certainly something that we consider.
I got a text in here from our good friend Josh Newby at the Council on Aging West Florida that they have scent kits if you have somebody who, feels like they're vulnerable to that. And then somebody else just texted in and says, Sheriff, there was a bloody altercation on the boardwalk this last Sunday, two drunk adults versus some teenagers. grown adult struck a girl in the face, and then some physical fight started. Deputies showed up. I don't know if you know anything about it, because I know the sheriff doesn't know all the incidents and stories, but do you know anything about this? Were you able to find the adults?
I understand that there was a disturbance on the boardwalk area last weekend, but by the time we got there, it was one of those things where and they weren't forthcoming with the information. So all we got was the suspect in this fight was a cousin of the individual, so it was an extended family type situation, if it's the same one. And by the time we got there, half the family had left, and no one wanted to cooperate, and there was no serious injury. So I believe that's what they're talking about, because we did read about it on social media. But that's what happens sometimes. When we get there, people would rather us not be involved, especially with family disturbance type situations.
Sure.
And there's no report of someone going being hospitalized because of it.
Okay. And when I say, yeah, sure, I don't mean that's okay. I just mean I understand that's normal. Unfortunately, that's a problem that you guys deal with.
There were two. That was a disturbance. Another situation was a guy trying to, I think, jump it off a balcony, and he ended up getting injured, and I think Life Flight actually came to transport them. So those were two separate incidences.
Got it. Very good. Well, Sheriff Chip Simmons and future Sheriff Lucas, thank you for the time this morning. I appreciate it. As always, we'll talk to you again next week, sir.
You bet. Y'all take care.
7:55 on News Radio 92.3, Candy has got traffic on the fives.
Do, and it looks like it has been remedied a little bit as far as going to Pensacola. NAS is backed up halfway across the bridge, so you shouldn't have too much trouble getting where you're going this morning. 437-1620 if you see that accident or slow down this morning.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
My name is Hades, Lord of the Dead. Hi, how you doing?
How to sell a contradiction. You call
you didn't know you needed today. 7:59, David Wayne, we got probably time for one quick headline before the top of the hour. Sir, what do you got?
Well, the Trump administration released thousands of files related to the Martin Luther King Jr. assassination yesterday. It includes FBI investigation records, discussions of potential leads, information about the assassin's cellmate, and more. You can access that on the National Archives.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.